I'm here with Benjamin, the singer for Cybreed. And Ben, great to have you on the show. And it's great to interview you for the show. What is Cybreed up to? What are you guys doing? What do you have going on? And I guess we could just start by telling everybody about what the band has going on right now.
Right now, we are right in the middle of the recording of the new album, actually. We've just completed, you know, the the takes in the studio, just cleaning all the stuff, and then we are going to send it to Rhys Fulber in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, we're going to mix the album. That's what we are mostly doing right now. We're already, you know, concentrating on making an album that will go even further than Antares, you know, something even more, you know, how to explain that. You know, somehow we have been, you know, classified as band, like, you know, belonging to the same category as Nemic or Fear Factory and stuff, and or Soilwork, and we just want right now to get out of this classification. Still, we are, you know, are going to be heavy and heavy, but maybe somehow more industrial, some more cold wave, you know, with more cold wave sound, but still really heavy, you know, kind of, how to say that, a mix of Depeche Mode and Strapping Young Lad.
Mm-hmm.
So we are completely working on that. We are focused on, you know, trying to make the best album we can do. So, of course, we are planning. I mean, we are already, you know, with a label and a manager and booking agency, you know, planning all the shows that will come after. Because
mm-hmm.
we had a hard time to tour with Antares. I don't know, maybe, you know, it was a bad timing, and the 2008 was quite difficult, you know, for us to find shows. For example, we tried to come back in USA,
mm-hmm.
but it was quite difficult. So right now, maybe we are trying to first in the USA for the release of the new album.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope, you know, something like October or November, but we're not sure yet. And so we are mostly working, you know, on the new album and what will come after, you know, because I think it's the kind of album that maybe will help us to make a breakthrough. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because now we're still, you know, underground and very confidential band. You know, even if people know the name of Cybreed, it's not like I'll explain that. For example, if I take the example of French band called Gojira,
mm-hmm.
you know they have. You know, they had the opportunity to tour in the USA a lot, and it helped them a lot, you know, to get bigger. So that's somehow the kind of thing we would like to do. But till precisely right now, we are, yes, completely stuck completely, you know, focused on, I mean, making the new album, make it sound, you know, completely crazy. It's going to be some kind of crazy, I guess.
So...
Even, you know, you can take take all the crazy part of Antares, and you're just still far from what you will have with a new album.
What's the name of the new album, and what's the biggest difference between this new album as compared to the previous two?
Well, first of all, it's the first album we recorded with our new drummer, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so new anymore. He's not so new anymore, but it's the first time we recorded with him. So first, he brought some really weird drumming, you know, very technical, but it's very different, for example, what Jack Faberon have done on Terrace, which is really, you know, the Soilwork style of drumming, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Very straight and straightforward, very tight. I mean, Kevin is very tight too, but he's somehow more groovy, so we have kind of, it's somehow more technical than, Antares first. Definitely, you know, it was really, you know, difficult for us to record this album because it's really, really technical, you know, really difficult riffing. I think we've never met such technical music. So that's big difference. Somehow I would say also the not the big difference, but one of the difference that will stand out compared to Antares.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would say the songs are more compact. You know, we wanted to make music really in your face. You know, it's too complicated, but you know, we've tried to make shorter songs with, you know, no useless elements. You know, no redundancy in the music. So somehow it will be more intense than Antares.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, it's still extreme, very extreme, even sometimes more extreme than Antares. But somehow there is a lot more of work on melodies. You know, on Antares there was still that kind of, you know, bad habit, I would call that, of doing, you know, screaming, you know, verse and chorus with clean vocals.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's mixed all together, you know. If you want, there is half of screams, half of clean vocals. Some songs are completely clean vocals orientated. Some songs are almost only, you know, screamed all along. somehow I would say there is more, you know, well, melodies are colder also than in Antares. I mean, if you mix all of that, the darker side of the melodies, I mean, the way we use vocals, the technical aspect, I would say, it's really something different from Antares, which is, you know, you have a lot of difference of in between the songs, you know, between the songs there is a lot of difference. This time it's big, moderate, with all the elements all blend all together. I mean, in every song. That's how I would describe the album. It's quite complicated for us. We were still, you know, trying to understand what we have composed and recorded. It's really even weird for us.
Ben, what do you like to write a lot of the lyrics about for the band? I notice you write a lot about computers and cyborgs and stuff like that.
What I like to write, it's quite complicated because, you know, I write in a really instinctive way. You know, my work, you know, it's first of, in the beginning when we begin to compose stuff, I just write down some words which become most of the time the name of the songs first, which give me the concept of the album. You know, it's kind of, you know, I just have kind of 1 month brainstorming about what I want to write, and after it's really automatic. Or, for example, this new album, maybe the album before were really, you know, it was kind of cyberpunk, but I would say, you know, modern cyberpunk, you know, more still, you know, stuff like Matrix and Terminator and whatever you want. The new album is more, it's more orientated on stuff like, you know, writers like Philip K. Dick,
mm-hmm.
for example, very famous, you know, science fiction writer that love a lot, you know, to speak about, you know, the perception of reality. And the new album is about perception of reality and how to say that? I have to admit the bad image I have on the world right now, humanity and stuff. Actually, it's a really nihilistic album compared to the others. I mean, it's just, you know, the continuity of what I've done, you know, in the past. You know, first album was really, really, you know, socially orientated, really, really in your face. Second album was very psychological, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The rest was more psychological, with, you know, that idea of an apocalypse to come. And the new album actually is completely nihilistic. It's about, if you want, the concept of the new album is there is no way out. It's very dark, you know, because I am. You know, my view on humanity and the world right now is really, you know, like, we cannot do anything anymore. There's no way out. We have to just wait and let it be sort out by itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever we do, it's just, it doesn't change. There is nothing change anyway. So, Yes, I would say that's why, you know, the name of the album, the new album, The Pulse of Awakening, is somehow, you know, it's ironic. Because when you read The Pulse of Awakening, you say, okay, it's the beginning of something new. And actually, it's my own awakening to the fact that at that point of my life, at that point of, I mean, the world, I mean, the way the world goes, there is nothing to do, there is nothing I can do, there is nothing we can do to change it. And we have to wait, you know, somehow to the, we have to, what was that expression, to suck it and see, I think it was something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to wait it to be, to, and we have to wait for, to the, I mean, from the, we have to wait for the destruction to be able to rebuild it. That's what this album is all about.
Ben, what are some of your musical influences? What bands inspired you as both, not only just a regular musician, but as a vocalist?
Well, it's quite complicated because I love so much stuff. Actually, I'm going to, you know, make it by kind of, you know, sort of music. First, for the metal, I would say the bands that influenced me are, first of all, definitely Strapping Young Lad. That's definitely, you know, Devin Townsend is just, you know, it's the metal god, you know, when it comes to singing. For me, it's the first one that, you know, mastered so well, you know, the heart of screaming and singing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Strapping Young Lad, what else I would say? Old stuff, actually, you know, I'm because I'm quite an old guy, kind of, because I'm re-influenced by the metal scene from the 80s, you know, like Carcass.
You guys don't look old in the pictures.
Huh?
You guys don't look old in your pictures.
Yeah, I know. You know, I'm the old guy of the band. It doesn't sound like, but I'm 29.
Oh, okay, so you're not that old.
Yeah.
A couple years younger than me, that's
I
it.
Don't look like, you know, it's quite a good thing for me. So, well, okay, influences. Okay, so what I was saying, I was speaking about Carcass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, At the Gate. I'm a big fan of At the Gate. You know, it was one of my favorite bands when I was a teenager. I would say also some of the black metal scene, you know, Norwegian black metal scene, especially Emperor. Big fan of Emperor. Of course, I would say also bands like Meshuggah. But maybe now it's not my first influence anymore. It was one of my first influence when I began Cybrid, but now it's not something I like a lot, Meshuggah, but it's not maybe my main influence anymore. Yeah, I think yes for the Fear Factory. I almost forgot Fear Factory. that's for the metal, you know, that's the kind of band that influenced me since I'm a teenager. But there is also a lot of bands, you know, that are not considered as metal. So I said Depeche Mode, you know, Debian is one of my favorite singers.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Smith from The Cure. What else? I would say Zero Mancer. It had a big influence on me and also on the cybrid music for the melodies, especially, you know, all the electro-rock side. What else? You know, there was so much bands that influenced me, you know, since I began to be a singer, I listened to many bands and stuff, and I took elements here and there and mixed them all together and tried to find my own way, actually, to sing metal music, you know, with that, you know, dark cold wave side, I mean, in the clean vocals. But, I think what the bands I give you are quite a good overview of what what bands I like, what influenced me till now, and what has influenced me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good overview.
I noticed that this band's kind of from two different countries, from Switzerland and of France. How did this band get together? How did you guys meet and form Cybreed?
The first meeting of Drop and me, it was actually, it was in a bar in Geneva, a bar where there was kind of metal party once a week. And actually Drop was, for the story, if you want, Drop had another band before It was called Rain, a band that was sounded like Samael, you know, already kind of electro metal. And so I was in that party, and Drop was doing, you know, kind of, you know, was DJing that night.
Mm-hmm.
And by mistake, he put it, you know, new songs he wrote. You know, he wasn't sure to use it for Rain, but he put it a song, and I was listening to the stuff, you know. Oh, shit, what? That's really good. And I was completely like, okay, that's the band, the music I'm looking for. I mean, that's the music I want to do for such a long time, because I've been involved in bands before, but it was never, you know, the kind of music I really wanted to do. And so I just went to meet Joab, and I spoke with him, you know, for 3-4 hours, and afterward we just tried to make music all together. And so we recruited, you know, the bass player of his former band, find a drummer, and we just began to work on Cybrid. After there was also changes in the band afterward, but I would say that's how it begins. You know, it's just a stupid metal party, and here we go. Yes, and we were completely drunk. I have to. It was a drunk meeting. I mean, the first weeks we spent together with Drop making music, it was also the weeks of my life where I partied the most. You know, we were completely drunk almost every night. It was just awful. Well, that's the story, but in, you know, very condensate way, you know, because it's really long. There was a lot of events, a lot of things happened, but it would be a very long to explain all the story. Maybe we'll make a book one day.
Does metal have a pretty good following over in France and Switzerland?
Well, Switzerland is quite, you know, it's quite a difficult case when it comes to music scene, actually. We had a big following when we've just begun, but you know, it's almost for every Swiss band, when you begin to get out of your country, for 1 or 2 years, people don't like you anymore, because they say you kind of how to say in English, sell out, that's it.
Sold out, yeah.
Yeah, they say you sell out because you get out of the underground, and we just, you know, it was like we're still an underground band, but for them it's quite a, you know, complete blasphemy for a band to get out. And so we had quite a couple of difficult years, but now the following is coming back, because, you know, the younger guy, they just, you know, see Cybrid as, you know, a metal band that is here and that sounds well. That's all important for them. But, well, actually, we have a nice musical metal scene, and maybe more metal hardcore scene, which is more developed than the metal scene in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
But they are interesting bands, you know. It's quite an habit, you know, in Switzerland to try to sound different, whatever you're doing, you know, even if you are influenced by bands from United States, from the rest of Europe, from, I don't know, Sweden, Norway. Musicians in Switzerland have the habit to make it sound a bit different. Maybe because it's a small country, it's quite, you know, separated from the rest of, you know, the other countries. There is not like, you know, a big metal audience like in Germany or United Kingdom or France,
mm-hmm.
Italy, Spain. It's quite, you know, kind of, you know, it's a bit the ass of the world, you know, with nothing to do. There is not so much to do, so we are quite, you know, we are influenced, but we are so much outside of the other, you know, the other scenes, that we all always make things different. And that's what I like in the Swiss scene. Damn, it's, well, there is some, you know, for example, the Swiss audience is one of the most difficult in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, you know, for them, you know, enjoying a show It's just standing and watching you. You know, that's the way they enter your show. It's really, you know, it's really difficult when you're on stage and try, you know, to move people.
Mm-hmm.
And you just find out that there is no way, they are too shy for that, because I can see the difference, for example, with the U.S. audience, because when we toured in the U.S., they were completely unknown, and people were, I mean, were crazy every night. I mean, even if there was 20 people, 30 people, it was always crazy show. Switzerland is really, really, really hot. But well, that's, you know, when you know it, it's okay.